This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. What was your reaction to the Bears raising ticket prices 10% across the board for a team that hasn't had a winning season since 2018 and only two in the last 13 seasons?
I would say I was far from pleased hearing that. Didn't they just raise ticket prices like last year, 8%? So it's 18% over 2 years? I mean, honestly, what are good reasons to get a refund? I mean, just a refund. We got a lot of lawyers out there. Someone ought to sue these guys for withholding too much taxes or whatever reason there would be, because that team was god-awful last year. How was the record at home? How bad have they been, especially after nobody was allowed to swear on Hard Knocks, and then everybody had to swear the whole season long, okay? Give me a break. You should win before you start raising prices on average of 10%. I get it. They got a lot of expenses. They got to pay off coaches. They got to buy new coaches. They need players. Why are you handing that on to the public? Why mismanage your business and then charge the public more? Because, as we've often said, nobody sells losing like the Bears, and no one charges for it now either. Just insane that they just raised the prices. And you know what? That was before the salary cap went up. They announced that like minutes before the salary cap went up. Quick. Get back. It's now 15. Never mind the 10. I mean, could there be a worse look than raising prices after the season they just experienced? I'd be befuddled in an effort to find it. Nobody thinks this is wise, and nobody feels like they're getting a good deal when you watch this team play.
Oh, well, Kevin Warren might want a word, Mully. After careful and thoughtful consideration and incorporating market and dynamics and industry trends and a strong home schedule, these are the reasons why we're increasing.
Did you see their home schedule? Have you looked at that group?
Saints, Giants, who else?
So what I guess
Packers, Lions,
you're
Vikings.
You're assured a certain number of wins? Is that the idea? You're going to have fun this year?
You're assured of seeing non-marquee teams play against another
team. I'm sorry, Dustin. Go back.
Oh, I mean, but you guys are right. I mean, but your point, when you answered the question perfectly, to me, the first thing that went into my mind was, well, Bears fans, you want to fire a coach, in the middle of the season. You wanted to pay a head coach more than any other head coach in this hiring cycle got to be a head coach, and he's a first-time head coach. This is the price of playing poker.
Well, you want to do the line item thing, you could do that because you're paying Matt Eberflus $9 million not to be here and Shane Waldron $6 million. So if you want to look at it that way, fine. But you can't look at it that way. You're the Chicago Bears, and you have a losing tradition. You have not had a winning season since 2018, and you have only two winning seasons since 2012. That was the year you fired your coach for going 10-6. You're the Chicago Bears, and yes, you went out and got the most sought-after coach in the head coaching market, and you paid him a small fortune, $13 million a year. So this is, in some ways, the Ben Johnson tax. But you've got to be more savvy, I think, Kevin Warren. I know it's a difficult world you live in, and inflation affects all of us. But coming off a season where you were well short of expectations, and you lost 10 games in a row, you can't raise your ticket prices by 10%. That's just telling the fans that you don't understand them and you can't relate to them. You should have to have back-to-back winning seasons before you earn the right to raise your ticket prices. You shouldn't be historically bad.
When's the last time that happened?
Good question. So I think that this is hard to take. Last year it was 8%, but 8% with you when you were taking away a home game because it was in London. And this year...
So you charge people to have to pay for a flight.
Essentially, it was a road game that you added to their budget if you wanted to go watch them win. But you know what? That was the only place you could watch them win. They're better in London than they ever were in Chicago.
What do you think it's going to cost when they actually put a shovel in the ground and get some cranes around here and put a stadium up?
Well, the price isn't going down, Mr. Dustino. Honestly.
I'm just saying, where do you think it's going?
You touched on it, Molly. This is bad timing, but not for just the reasons we articulated. But when it comes on a day where you're reminded how good the business of football is, the cap is going up, everybody's making money hand over fist, and the Bears want to make more by charging their fan base that has been disappointed and frustrated for years. Oh, here, give us another 10%.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. He writes Bears for the Tribune, and Biggs' time is 7 this morning. What do you make of Nate Taylor's report in The Athletic? He joins you guys at 9, that guard Trey Smith will not be getting either the franchise or the transition tag. It seems likely to hit unrestricted free agency. Will that information change? With word yesterday, the NFL salary cap will be increasing by 20 to 25 mil, though. Should Smith be the Bears' top priority?
Well, the first thing you want to do is find out if that changes that story.
Right.
Because that story was posted before the news of the salary cap increase. And you have to wonder if teams like the Chiefs that were on one moment in salary cap hell, the next moment were released into purgatory. You just don't know what it means because this could free up the money that they need to retain a guy like Trey Smith. If they prioritize him on their offensive line, this changes the dynamic of free agency potentially for the Bears. The Bears will have more money, absolutely, but so will teams like the Chiefs that were struggling to fit everybody under the cap. So I think it's good news that everybody has a little bit more wiggle room under the salary cap because your teams like the Bears and maybe players will be asking for higher salaries, but you know how it works. They will prioritize the players they want, and this might not be great news for the Bears.
All right, so this was a misleading headline also, by the way, in this story by The Athletic. This was a very interesting, you know, grab and clickbait type of thing. Mm-hmm. What was said in the story is that he believes that they will work out a contract with Trey Smith, much like the contract they worked out with their center last year with some pretty high guaranteed money into the future, almost like deferral type stuff. This also, as you guys pointed out, very accurately was written and released before we all got the news that the cap was going up. So again, if you watched that Chiefs game and you watched how they lost that Super Bowl, and Smith was part of the problem in that game particularly, if you let him go, how are you going to protect the best quarterback in the NFL. I just don't think this guy hits the street. And I also suspect that in a week or two, we're going to hear about the best quarterback in football deferring money and giving money back so that they can even have more money to keep guys around. So actually, this news is bad news for the Bears. I think this is bad. I would put the chances of the Bears landing this guy, unless they're as disappointed as I am in how he played in the Super Bowl, at about 0.0, a Blutarski.
Yeah, the 20 to 25 million isn't just for any one team. Every team gets that increase in their salary cap. Yeah. So that means if you've been hoarding money, waiting for a free agency, guess what? Everybody has enough money to get a contract done. Not good for a team like the Bears that needs multiple players out of this free agency. I think, Dustin, you've hit upon it. To me, if the conclusion from the Super Bowl is that the Chiefs have got to spend money on their offensive line, why would they let their best offensive lineman go, or arguably one of their top offensive linemen? The Chiefs have been to, what, 5 Super Bowls in 6 years or something? It's just crazy. They have had 5 different left tackles over that period of time. That's insane for a team with that quarterback, with that amount of success. They have lined up so many different guys at left tackle. So that's obviously a position they want to address and deal with. But you don't get better by losing the strength of your offensive line. I just am very curious to see if he gets out of there. We've talked about this from the minute we knew the guy was going to be in free agency. Teams don't let good players go.
That's why, as soon as this news came across the wire yesterday, of thinking, okay, what's their plan B?
Right. That's exactly right, David. That's the same thought I had. This is not good. The rise of the salary cap, great news for players, great news for the health of the league, bad news Bears.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I knew that question would come up.
Lots of questions to come. Joey Bosa expected to be released by the Chargers before he's due $12 million next month as a roster bonus. What's your level of interest if you're the Bears? Is it realistic to think Ryan Poles could land Bosa?
This is so great. I mean, I would love to see Joey Bosa come to Chicago. That would be fantastic. I take both the Bosa brothers, their mom, it's her hometown. That would be wonderful to see them come back. And as I learned in our text exchange that I was slow draw moving to. There were a lot of people making a lot of jokes, and it was very amusing to me because people know who Tony Bosa is and what his Chicago connection is. So it's just awesome. I'm all for it. The great thing about this is, you know, you asked me if I'd give up a couple first-round picks for Myles Garrett. I was like, yeah, let's go. I'm all for it. I mean, you don't have to give up any picks. If you sign a guy like with this kind of value, I know he's had his injuries, et cetera, but he's a hell of a football player, and he certainly fits the landscape of Chicago, and he'd hit people.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
There we go. Here come the jokes.
That was one of them.
Right? I love this idea. I mean, you know, Joey Bosa would make quarterbacks, swim with the fishes out in Lake Michigan. We had some fun with this on our little group text yesterday when this news came out. Mully, I think you nailed it there with the idea that you don't have to give up anything but money. And what do the Bears have now? Money. But at the same time,
you can charge the public and get more.
Right. Bring it up. Make it 12% across the board or on average or
you
whatever.
You want Joey Bosa? 12% increase.
But you know who else got money yesterday? The Chargers.
Chargers.
Yeah. Does that 20 or 25 million go to the roster? But, you know, the great Jim Harbaugh, he doesn't need a guy like Joey Bosa. You know, he just, you know, drinks whole milk and, you know, wears khaki pants and buys them at Walmart and eats T-bone steaks.
I don't know how you turn a question about Joey Bosa into a diss on Jim Harbaugh. But nonetheless, the Chargers will
have habit.
Exactly.
What about my Godfather reference.
I think that was great. It was very well done.
What the hell is this? I just sent you a message. It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Quarterbacks are going to sleep with the fishes when Joey Bosa's here, David.
He plays his own.
That's right.
Plays his own audio.
Joey Bosa in Chicago would be a thing. I mean, it would be a lot of fun. And you're right, it's only money. I would much rather see them overpay for Joey Bosa, even though he's coming off a season that he was healthy, but not as productive as he has been. Okay, fine. Line him up opposite Montez Sweat and see what you got. I love it. I love the idea. I don't mind the thought of overpaying him as much as I would think that giving up top draft picks, first-round draft picks for Myles Garrett. I don't like that. I would prefer Bosa because of the only money part of it, but they may be able to retain him. They also have Khalil Mack to pay. But Joey Bosa in Chicago, the storylines, the implications, all that stuff, yeah, sign me up.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
Score, baseball insider Bruce Levine at 8:25 live from spring training. The Cubs are opening their Cactus League season today. Camelback Ranch, the place. Opponent, the Dodgers, in a game that'll be on the MLB Network. So why is Michael Busch the only regular position player or pitcher expected to start this game? Can you please speculate?
I just think they're slow to wrapping up people. It doesn't really bother me. I don't think that it even if they're starting their everyday lineup today, I would wonder why are they doing it on February 20th. Just give them a time to ease into the process. Heck, when I hear Craig Counsell, who has great insight, he is the smartest guy, all those things remain true, but he sounds a little bored already. Did he say something about the first hour spring training games are fun, but then after that, like, dude, you paid $8 million a year to manage. At least hold your interest a little bit longer than an hour.
About $3 million too much.
But I get it. I get it that this is going to be a slow process, and the fact that Michael Busch is the only guy starting, that's okay for me. I don't really mind who they're using pitch. You know, the biggest thing to come out of yesterday was Justin Steele seems to be assured that he's starting on the home opener at Wrigley Field. So at least we got that cleared up.
Cody Petit, by the way, getting the ball for your Northside baseball team. So what Council should have said was, we're leaving for Japan. I think it's now in like 18 days or something like that. But we got a lot. No, we have to keep everybody healthy so we can get to Japan.
Yeah.
Because how do you get ready by not playing? Now I'll tap the brakes, and we can go back to this early next week. So Chicago Cubs baseball will be on the air at 1:55 on Friday, which is tomorrow. And if we get more regulars, fine. Okay, that makes, like, because the game's going to be on the radio. Like, this is on MLB Network.
Yeah.
Forget about MLB Network. Oh. You know, give it to Marquee, give it to the Score.
So
when the games
are
going to be on those platforms, have the regulars play. If it's not going to be on, then don't have the regulars play.
But why Michael Bush? Why are they forcing him
to because
play?
Michael Bush wants to get back at the Dodgers.
He wants to show them
what they gave up
on. Do they have another first baseman in camp?
See, that was kind of where I was going to go.
Do they?
If Bellinger was there, he could
this
play.
This tells me they have no depth. They have no backup. He's got to play every inning of every game.
Birdie can play first. He filled in for Rizzo.
I forgot Birdie.
I don't know how much we care about the Crackers League, but I will be tuning in. I just think it's going to be fun, maybe for about, you know, two innings or something, just to have baseball on. It'll help gear me up as I get ready for hockey.
I'm going to pay attention as long as Craig Council does.
Yeah, exactly.
About an hour.
Yeah, but not even. I'm not quite paid as much as Craig Council, so I just give him about.
I got a good hour
seconds.
In me this afternoon. You know,
I got to catch some Z's so I can stay up till 10:30.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that answered the question.
Billy Donovan's got his Bulls on the Score tonight. Chuck Swirsky's pregame, 6:15. What are you expecting from the Bulls in New York against the Knicks, a game that Patrick Williams will miss due to a lingering leg injury? Are you hoping for wins or losses over the last 2 months of this lost season?
Well, I'm a little bit bummed that they're playing the game and that it counts, because right now they are at the perfect cross-section of Jordan and Pippen. They're 23-33. Doesn't that seem like the right record for the Bulls to just sit on for a while? I don't know why they have to keep playing, but such is the rules of the league. I don't think much of the Bulls going into New York. And I got to be honest with you, I don't see them winning very much at all. I don't know if it's a question of whether you want them to win or lose or what. Did you watch the way they played toward the end of the first half of the season, whatever we want to call it? They've played 56 games, but they were god-awful in the last couple of games before the break. And I got a feeling we're going to see them continue that trend. I don't know that they can win. I don't know how many games they're going to win, but I don't think it's a worry. I think they're going to be securely in the draft lottery, and they're guaranteed their pick anyway. So congratulations to the Bulls.
Hashtag capture the flag. That's where my focus is.
Did you see Cooper Flagg said that he might want to come back next year?
That would be...
Did you see that?
I did.
In the Athletic?
I did.
Goodness sakes.
But that would be a $400 million mistake.
I'm not disagreeing with that. And I definitely think that he...
I love the attitude.
...will
right?
come to his senses and somebody will talk him out of that, but... That was a surprise.
Well, could the Bulls be even worse next year?
I hope he goes Danny Ferry on the whole thing. Just plays all four years, then goes to Italy.
Yeah, Danny Ferry did play all 4 years. Wow, that's
and then he went to
the
Italy.
Past.
Yeah, just
yeah,
saying.
23-33, yes, it's a nice little Jordan and Piffen reference, but you know what? With 26 games left, they're staring at Horace Grant number of losses.
At minimum.
54 could be the number. They could lose 21 more times.
Oh, they're bad.
They're 26 games. They could go 5-21.
I like it.
If they don't start to hit threes, you know, college basketball and NBA basketball, you watch it and you could just – you shout at the clouds and say, get off my lawn, by talking for the next 3 hours about how bad it has gotten with all these teams chucking up threes and not being able to hit threes. There's only a couple teams that really are good at that. The Bulls aren't one of them. And they are playing this style, and I applaud them for trying to do something with this roster, Billy Donovan. You're trying. But we're going to watch the final 26 games, a team trying to play a three-point driven offense and run that offense, and they can't hit the three. It's going to be ugly, and they're going to lose a lot.
They're going to lose.
Oh, that's a good question.
That is the voice of the great Eddie Olczyk, Eddie O, with Mully and Haw at 8 o'clock, talking Four Nations Face-Off title game, Canada-USA Part 2. How do you expect the Blackhawks to react to Seth Jones discussing a trade so the 30-year-old can play for a winner? How hard will it be to unload his $9.5 million cap hit?
Well, I think they'll find a taker eventually. It might take till the off season,
But Seth Jones maybe wants to be part of a playoff run this year. Maybe they can find somebody who will split the contract and pay half, pay it down, whatever combination. I understand why Seth Jones wants to move on. I don't think he's been a great Blackhawk, and I've been disappointed since he arrived. It was a Stan Bowman move. It was an act of desperation, but at the time I thought, wow, Seth Jones is one of the best young blue liners in the NHL. And when you have him, then I thought, that's a good move. It wasn't a good move. It's an albatross of a contract. Now they're trying to unload it. And the only good thing about this, because Seth Jones wanting to engineer a trade and not wanting to call it that, is kind of, just say it. You want out. Because I think that he has been a guy who has made some news, and there's been some grumblings at the end of last season, and now here we are before the trade deadline. But accommodate him. Kyle Davidson will try. The only good news is the Hawks are loaded with young, up-and-coming defensemen who one day will help them feel better about their own blue line, Dustin. And I think that is where you, what you get, take out of this.
If they could find a taker, that'd be great. I just wonder how much the Blackhawks would have to eat of that $9.5 million in order to get him off their books.
I'm just glad that he got paid, you know, because at one point he wanted to make money. Now he's decided he wants to win. I don't have a lot of... I don't feel great about this. I get it. The Blackhawks, you know, it's hard to watch them on a game-to-game basis. I don't know what it would be like having to show up and play, but it seems like he's done well for himself. And the idea, he's not demanding a trade, but they're talking about scenarios in which he would go and try to win somewhere. Give me a break. You know, you want to get out, get out. You're just going to have to take a pay cut to do so. But the Hawks, is there any benefit to eating salary and getting a higher draft pick? Does that work in the NHL? I don't know. Their cap's pretty hard, so I don't know the rules of it. I'm just, you know, fair enough. You want to go, then you should go. But I don't know that he's earned the money that they paid him. How about that?
He has not. Well, he most decidedly has not.
So there's that. And I don't know what the market looks like. Could he help teams? Yes.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. But at that price, probably not. It'd be tough to move him, frankly.
There's rumors about Toronto. There's rumors about Vegas. There'll be rumors about other teams that are contenders. But if I'm Kyle Davidson, I'm working the phones and trying to accommodate him.
Because if he doesn't
want to be here, you don't want him here.
No, not with a
bunch of young players in that dressing room.
No question.
All right.
We got the extra point next, and it's a good one. We were asked earlier when Mr. David would give a prediction, and it will be next. We'll find out what Mr. David is predicting. It doesn't have to be about a specific thing. We just need a prediction. No, we got a specific subject to discuss. We'll do so next. Mullion on the Score.